It is there that the promises rest upon his people. It is there that he, our God, his name forever to be praised, said his name and his blessing shall rest. And it is there that every Jew for every generation says to themselves, one year, maybe next year, I shall be in Jerusalem for the Passover. This was my hope as well. For nearly 40 years, my father's father had gone and spoken of it over and over again. And as I watched my young sons grow, Rufus and then Alexander, to become bar mitzvah, sons of the covenant, I hoped and worked that the day might be soon. And so it came that I gathered them together and I said, Rufus, Alexander, my sons, this next year, God be willing, we shall have Passover in Jerusalem. You must know that for us, from Cyrene to Jerusalem is a journey of some 400 miles, all of it on foot. And yet we were filled with joy and hope, preparing, saving, gathering food. We joined with a little band who got left from Cyrene to travel also for the Passover, and that band grew to become a crowd, to become a mob, to become a joyful pilgrimage. And then, as we reached the very city itself, as we sang our songs of ascent up the Mount of Olives and down into the Valley of Kidron, and as we began to ascend into the holy city itself, then I sensed something wrong. For I heard not more psalms of ascent and joy, but I heard shouts. I heard words of hate and mocking. I heard, crucify him. And I could only hold my sons close as we gathered close to the gate from the countryside and ask, what must be going on? And then suddenly I knew, for he fell almost at my feet. This man, though so bloodied, so beaten, he did not look like a man. There, as I stared at him in wonder and amazement, as I clutched my sons close, I heard a Roman soldier's voice call out to me, You carry that man's cross. You must understand that for me, all the years that I have waited and planned and hoped for this Passover, for me to carry the cross of this condemned man, for me to be made unclean by his blood, right, and not be able to celebrate the Passover, oh, the shame. And yet, what was I to do? A Roman spear in my face? Yes, I must obey this soldier. Yes, I must pick up his cross. And so I bent down to grab the beam. And it was then I looked more closely at the man who had fallen. There I saw him, more injured than I thought, his back flayed from the Roman flogging, his head covered in a mockery of a crown of thorns, his eyes and his face swollen and beaten so that barely could his eyes open. And yet when I saw his eyes, I did not see the fear of a man about to die. I did not see the hatred of a man who was raging against those who caused him so much pain and suffering. I saw eyes of love. And we carried the cross. Together we walked on. And his love continued, even as a great crowd followed us, many mocking him, others weeping for him. I think I shall never forget the sound of that weeping of so many women that tears at the heart. And yet in love he turned to them and said, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, weep for yourselves. For the days will come when your enemies will surround you, and they shall dash you and your babies upon the ground. For if they do this when the tree is green, what shall they do when it is dry? And he walked on, and I walked on with him, sharing and carrying the cross all the way until we reached the place of crucifixion, always, always in love. Even as they laid the beam down, even as they laid him upon it. Even as they hammered each of the nails, he said and prayed, Father, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. The love of this man changed me. I could not go home. I could not leave. My world changed that day. I must know more about this man who could die showing such love even to his enemies. And so I tarried there. I and Rufus and Alexander, we learned of this man, of Yeshua HaMashiach, of Jesus the Messiah. We learned of his teachings, of his kindness to lepers, of his miracles and healings. We learned of his message of love. We beheld his resurrection. Oh, but that is a story for another night. We tarried there in Jerusalem before we waited for the promised Spirit on Pentecost. And then it was our time to travel back to Cyrene, yes, to tell our family, yes, then on to Antioch, where we were part of the group called Christians, where we sent out the first missionaries, where even my sons went as far as Rome and eventually became noble teachers there. All of it because of this cross that I was fated to carry. All of it because of his love. And it was not his cross to carry. Is that not true? It was yours and mine. It was your sin and mine that he carried, a sin of the world that was upon that cross of his. And yet he asks us to carry a cross, does he not? Not a cross of suffering, but a cross of love. For we do not know whose path God will have us cross. We do not know to where we shall bring the cross, into whose little corner of the world. We do not know to whom he wants us to share love or bear one another's burdens. But we know that he says to his followers, if you will follow me, you must deny yourself, take up your cross. Yes, the cross of love, the message of hope, sharing the burden that others carry. My name is Simon, and I am of Cyrene, and it is my greatest privilege to carry this cross, and it shall be your greatest privilege. May we, who now know and recall the full extent of his love, may we too carry his cross all throughout our story.